You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 23rd of January, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RushJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I want to apologize to our listeners for the visuals that may come up today. But if you're a monk or a celibate priest, this may actually help you quite a bit. So you're welcome to those people.
Well, yes, I'm very glad that you put in that little warning there before we get into the subject matter today. We're going to be talking a bit about Harvey Weinstein and the trial that's going on because people seem to have forgotten about it. But before we really get into that, Matt, what are your views about this before we really start getting into these quotes? Because I'm a little bit conflicted here. I tend to think that these women, on the one hand, they knew what they were doing. They knew that if they slept with him, they would gain celebrity status. They would make lots of money, and you hear about the casting couch and all of that. So I think about that on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you've got all these quotes in the Talmud that tell Jews that, for instance, a Jew may do to a non-Jewess what he can do. He may treat her as he treats a piece of meat. That's from the Shulchan Aruch, or the Shulchan Aruch. And another quote from there is, a Jew may violate but not marry a non-Jewish girl. And we know that Jews mistreat non-Jewish women. They call them shiksas, and the Jews that are involved in the pornography industry say that the reason why they do it is because they want to violate and degrade non-Jewish women. So part of me says, well, this is him just carrying out his Jewish archetype, and you know, these girls may well have been abused by him. So there's two ways that we can really look at this. So what are your views on that, Matt? Which way do you look at it? How do you see it?
Well, people who follow my stuff know that I've come down very, very hard on these accusations, whether it be Jerry Sandusky or Bill Cosby or Lawrence Taylor or any of these other guys. I'm saying that 90 or 95% of rape accusations are lies. 99% of domestic violence accusations are lies. They're stories. I don't buy them, especially since, you know, most of these people don't go to jail. The cases against Cosby and Sandusky were terrible. You know, Sandusky depended on the existence of repressed memories, which every psychologist in the world says is a lie. Cosby rested on the idea that these disco biscuits, these quaaludes, you know, one or two quaaludes on a full stomach made you comatose, which is laughable. So these men are innocent. And I don't think it's that hard to prove. This guy is completely different. There's none of these weak points in this case. He knew that he can get away with this. He'll probably walk. He knew that he was Hollywood. He does have this ethnic background to him. Jews have been talking about, and there's movie after movie, book after book from Jewish authors about violating shiksas for decades. This is nothing new. This is ordinary. He didn't think it would go this far. He's still making fun of them now. There's a completely different story here. There's no weak point. Now, there's some of their claims I think are lies. But the fact remains that if, especially when you're as ugly as this man is, I mean, can you imagine even being near him, let alone having sex with the guy? I mean, that alone means it's automatically rape. Anybody when he touches, he rapes just from his very existence. But so I don't believe the whole story. But if you are promise this stuff. And if you say, you know, you're not going to be successful in Hollywood unless you have sex with me, and your whole world is being successful in Hollywood, that's still rape. It's still the fact that you don't put a gun to her head. It's still rape as far as I'm concerned. It is very hard to rape a woman. Their legs are extremely strong. It's very, very difficult for a man to even be aroused if he's fighting with somebody. If you give a woman drugs, it doesn't make any sense, because then you're having sex with a corpse. There's no fun in that. So I think the whole thing is nonsensical. This case, though, was very, very different. This man has been celebrating the tranny culture, the gay culture, the sexual obsession. And he thinks he says in an article that he has a right to this because of how liberal he is. So this man, I mean, he says he shouldn't be on trial because he's been so wonderful to the left and he's backed this Jewish agenda. He gave that interview to the New York Post. And of course, the woman he gave the interview to is Rebecca Rosenberg. So, you know, and by the way, Jews are forbidden to testify against or have anything negative to say about other Jews if they're in a Gentile court. They then they become rodef, as Michael Hoffman has taught us, and they can be killed at will. So you have Rebecca Rosenberg being the journalist in this case, who is not defending him outwardly, but is certainly saying a lot of things that are sprinkling doubt about this case. None of that was the fact with Sandusky or Cosby or any of these guys, Taylor, any of these other cases, the ones that I followed. So this is a completely different story. I think he raped somebody in the broad sense. Just because of the movies he puts out, I don't care what lies have to be told. Just put this guy away. His movies alone mean he should be convicted. And if we have to take him down this way, that's fine by me.
Well, he's been trying to degrade Western civilization for the last 30 years with his movies, hasn't he? It's all full of transsexuals, transvestites, women being prostitutes, feminism. And his big excuse is that he put women into lead roles. He allowed women to make movies. So he should be allowed to do what he did with the casting couch. I mean, the first time that I saw him, it was before all of this actually broke. And I can remember seeing him at some movie awards ceremony with a beautiful Aryan girl on his arm, and just thinking, you know, what the hell? That is so obviously she is with him for his money, and money can obviously buy you whatever woman you want in the world. You must be able to buy if a man that looks like that can have a beautiful woman like that on his arm. And I didn't really think anything more about it after that. And then some years later, This story broke. And we've also got the fact that he donated a lot of money to the SPLC and the ADL. I think one of them actually gave him an award a while back for services against anti-Semitism. So I think he probably thought that he was safe from anything like this happening to him, and he would be able to accuse the people making the accusations of being anti-Semites, because he is a walking, living anti-Semitic trope, as people will see with the image that I'm going to include along with this podcast. But you sent me some quotes to go along with this, Matt, and I think the characters here, you've got somebody called Sciorra, and I think that must be is that a film producer or is that an actress, just before I read the quote out?
That's Annabelle Sciorra. She's one of his main accusers.
Right. Okay, well, in the late 1990s, Haas said, Sciorra and Weinstein were placed in neighboring rooms at a hotel in France during the Cannes Film Festival after she co-starred in a movie distributed by his former company, Miramax. Sciorra, the prosecutor said, found him in his underwear with baby oil and a movie tape. And that's the bit that you were warning people about, of that image in their minds. It took 25 years until she could relive the nightmare and tell her story, Haas said of Sciorra, whose allegations were ruled too old to support criminal charges. Harvey Weinstein remained a bigger figure in Hollywood with power and connections to silence Annabella. Weinstein, Haas said, exploited a power imbalance between himself and his alleged victims. The women, she said, were no match for the power broker in Hollywood that Harvey Weinstein had become. By the mid-1990s and during the trial, each will describe their fear, their shame, and their humiliation. And there's actually 80 women that have come forward to make these accusations against him. And, you know, there really is no smoke without fire. Why did you particularly want this quote included, Matt?
For one main reason. This is what makes this case different from Cosby. If you want to be successful in Hollywood, if you want to keep working in Hollywood, if you want to maintain your profile there, you have to listen to Harvey Weinstein. None of these other guys had this kind of power. This man alone could control, or, you know, even for other studios, he could make one phone call and you're finished. So they had absolutely no choice. Usually there's no good reason for a woman not to report a rape. None. You know, the man will automatically be, there'll be a protective order against you. In this case, she knows that she'd be finished in Hollywood and would be blacklisted forever. She'd have to go be a, you know, work at Walmart. That's what makes this case very different. Plus, for these women that are coming against him, that Jewish lawyer from California, whose name is not coming to me, who organized all the other attacks on these other guys, is not involved here, which is a huge red flag. What is her name?
I can't think. I'm not sure.
You know who? I think most of our listeners know who I'm talking about. A Jewish lawyer, the feminist who organizes all of these attacks on all these guys. She's been involved in every part of this Me Too thing. Is not involved here, and that might be because of the Jewish connection. But that's a big red flag, and that's what got me interested in this. Besides the fact that no one's talking about this trial because of everything else, the impeachment and the Iran thing. So we have to talk about it. But when we come back, when I start talking again here in a minute, I'll remember her name, hopefully.
Okay. Well, I was interested to see that even Courtney Love has spoken out against him. And this is in 2005. The question was put to her, do you have any advice for girls in this industry? And Courtney Love replied, I'll be hit with a libel suit if I say it, but if you get invited to a party at the Four Seasons with Harvey, don't go. So, I mean, that is coming from her and with her reputation. I mean, he must have been pretty disgusting and perverse. And I thinking back to what happened with Cosby, I mean, the women that he was accused of raping, they weren't aspiring actresses, were they? So I think you do have a point there, Matt, about the power that he had, and that these women would have been ruined in their careers if they did speak up. If you got 80 women that are saying that they've been victimized by him in this way, and even somebody like Courtney Love is saying, don't have anything to do with this guy. I mean, he must have been pretty despicable.
The woman I'm talking about is Gloria Allred. That's who I mean. And when I don't see her name, that got me very, very upset. I'm starting to think this is completely different. The Cosby thing. I mean, the Cosby, you know, these women weren't even attractive. He had no power over them. He could have had whoever he wanted. That's not the case with Weinstein. These, you know, I don't like giving any credence to this movement, but in this particular case, and given who we're dealing with, there's no doubt that this man is more or less what they say he is.
Well, after Sciorra finished making The Night We Never Met, she said that she became ensconced in this circle of Miramax, referring to Weinstein's studio, which was then gaining an increasingly dominant role in the industry. There were so many screenings and events and dinners, Sciorra said, that it was hard to imagine life outside of the Weinstein ecosystem. At one dinner in New York, she recalled, Harvey was there and I got up to leave, and Harvey said, oh, I'll drop you off. Harvey had dropped me off before, so I didn't really expect anything out of the ordinary. I expected just to be dropped off. In the car, Weinstein said goodbye to Sciorra, and she went upstairs to her apartment. She was alone and getting ready for bed a few minutes later when she heard a knock on the door. It wasn't that late, she said, like it wasn't the middle of the night, so I opened the door a crack to see who it was, and he pushed the door open. Then Weinstein grabbed her, she said. He shoved me onto the bed and he got on top of me. Sciorra struggled. I kicked and I yelled, she said. But Weinstein locked her arms over her head with one hand and forced sexual intercourse on her. When he was done, he ejaculated on my leg and on my nightgown. It was a family heirloom, handed down from relatives in Italy and embroidered in white cotton. He said, I have impeccable timing. And then he said, this is for you. Disgusting stuff here, very, very graphic. What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, I'm trying to get the image out of my head. Again, I apologize one more time. this man is so vile. But the problem here, and I've read this in numerous places, and most men know what I'm talking about. This was a fight. And when a man gets into a fight, the penis retracts for obvious reasons. It's a way to protect it from being hit or damaged because it's so delicate. So that's why most rape charges are impossible, because a man simply can't get an erection when during a fight, during a battle, when, of course, the penis retracts. However, other sources have said that he was injecting himself with something to give himself an artificial erection. The prosecution has made this claim already during the trial. Now, I don't even know if that would work, given how primal that retraction is during a fight. But I can certainly picture this happening without the dramatic physical violence, because I could picture him saying, you know, how dare you say no? Your whole world is because of me. Everything you have is because of me. You know, and what else is this guy going to do? I mean, a guy like Bill Cosby or Lawrence Taylor, at the time, they had women everywhere. The guy from Stanford had women everywhere. These were all popular men. Weinstein could – this is probably the only chance he has. He knows that even if these women were to consent, it's pretty much still rape, because he knows there was no way they would stand near him if he wasn't Harvey Weinstein. And given what he looks like and how it must have been, there's got to be a separate crime. You know, intercourse with Harvey, you know, in and of itself, that makes this so disgusting that we could hardly even talk about it. Although it's very odd that she talks about the nightgown. Like, that's the issue here. It's an heirloom. You know, it's an odd thing, which gives a little bit of credence to it, because what the hell is he talking about? If you were going to make it up, you're going to talk about your nightgown? It's an heirloom? That's way too specific for someone who's making up a story. And this is kind of what the prosecution is hitting him with now.
Some of the obstacles that Sciorra and other women believed they faced were related to Weinstein's power in the film industry. Sciorra said that she felt the impact on her livelihood almost immediately. From 1992, I didn't work again until 1995, she said. I just kept getting this pushback of, we heard you were difficult, we heard this or that. And I think that was the Harvey machine. The actress Rosie Perez, a friend who was among the first to discuss Sciorra's allegations with her, told me she was riding high and then she started acting weird and getting reclusive. It made no sense. Why did this woman, who was so talented and riding so high, doing hit after hit, then all of a sudden fall off the map? It hurts me as a fellow actress to see her career not flourish the way that it should have. So that seems to be some indication that this is what went on. How famous was this Sciorra? How successful were her movies? Do you know much about her background, Matt?
Well, I was more into pop culture back in the early 90s than today. Maybe she was in the sort of films that I just didn't watch. But again, this is something that didn't come up in any of the other trials where I think the man is usually innocent. Because clearly it's true that she dropped out of Hollywood. She became a recluse. Something happened. And what was she going to do? I mean, this man was infinitely more powerful than any of the other people who have been accused. And we've had these trials. Cosby is just one. And because he is essentially a monopolist, and you get one phone call from him and you're finished. Another studio gets a call from Harvey. You're not going to mess with him. And here's your proof. When I read this, I became very sympathetic for the first time in my life to women making these accusations. It makes sense. None of this came up in the other trials.
Well, there's been some dirty tricks played as well. I mean, Harvey's turning up there at the trials in his walker, pretending to be extremely disabled. Yet there's also footage of him walking around without apparently needing his walker. There's also things that have actually gone on in the trial itself. They've rejected a load of jurors, and this happened the other day. Manhattan prosecutors opened Harvey Weinstein's trial Wednesday with a strategy that led to a conviction in the retrial of comedian Bill Cosby, relying on a disputed century-old evidence rule to delve into past allegations of sexual misconduct. The prosecutors said they would call as witnesses three women whose accusations against the former movie producer haven't yet resulted in criminal charges, to New York to testify about three alleged incidents in 2004 in Midtown Manhattan, in Soho the following spring, and at a Beverly Hills hotel in 2013. Their allegations don't have to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, nor do they have to be connected directly to the charges Mr. Weinstein is on trial for, which involves two other women. Rather, their allegations could help rebut Mr. Weinstein's expected defense that all the sexual encounters were consensual. In opening arguments before a jury of seven women and five men Wednesday, Manhattan Assistant District Attorney Megan Hast painted Mr. Weinstein as a master manipulator who used his industry success to deceive and abuse aspiring actresses. Mr. Weinstein's defense team told jurors that his accusers were motivated by fame and were rewriting history about a man now viewed a social pariah. Defense attorney Damon Sharonis cited dozens of emails and text messages from the accusers that he said showed the women had developed relationships with Mr. Weinstein that in some cases appeared loving. Now, I'm not sure what to make of this, Matt, because it seems to me that, you know, bringing up people from years ago that they're not actually going to be tested on what they're actually saying. They're basically just being used to smear the guy's character. I'm really not sure that this is all above board. What do you make of this?
Well, what's interesting, first of all, is that how the press is treating it. And this exact same thing – sorry, that was Marcel trying to interrupt things. When this happened in the other cases, in Cosby, for example, they didn't treat it like – they didn't call it century-old evidence rule. They didn't put it in this way. They didn't even mention it at all except, you know, these were witnesses. All of a sudden now with Harvey, this is a problem. Let's be clear here. He's given $25 million, or at least has come to an agreement, according to the New York Times, $25 million to his accusers. And somehow that's in a civil case, and he's trying to pretend that that's not an admission of guilt. And he's using his company to pay that money rather than himself. So he is paying these women. He is saying that he's done something wrong, or else he wouldn't have lost the civil suit. But again, a lot of this stuff can be, yeah, I don't like how the justice system works here. Bill Cosby had a hung jury the first time around. They had to try him twice. But in this case, this is a system that Harvey Weinstein helped create, and now they're hanging him. So there's something poetic about this. He's the one who was promoting this kind of thing just a few years ago before he was accused.
Will they hang in, though? This is the thing. Or are they going to, pull a fast one? I mean, you just look at what happened here. The 67-year-old producer is currently in court in Manhattan for a trial on five charges relating to sexual assault. But on Friday, that was the 17th, his legal team argued their case for a mistrial already, as they allege one of the jurors penned an upcoming novel titled Age of Consent, which is about older men pursuing sex with younger women. According to TMZ, Weinstein's team believe the topics discussed in the juror's novel, which is due to be published in July this year, are similar to the accusations against the disgraced movie mogul and could therefore impact how the juror in question views the case. Weinstein's lead attorney, Donna Rotuno, claims the juror did not disclose the information about the book when being screened for jury duty and believes that this is grounds for a mistrial. However, TMZ reports Weinstein's trial judge, James Burke, has already denied the motion for a mistrial, and so the case is expected to go ahead as planned. The search for jurors to sit on the trial has proven difficult due to the publicity of Weinstein's trial, and 120 potential jurors were looked at before the final seven were decided earlier this week. I mean, just how long can they go on for, Matt, by going through these jurors and saying, well, they're not good enough, they're not good enough, they're not good enough. And you can't do that in Britain. You just have to make do with the 12 men good and true that are found from among the population at random. So over there, I see you have a different system. I mean, what is this system based on? Is it based on saying, well, I'm not going to get a fair hearing from these people? Because surely everyone's going to have heard that of what he's done. You're not going to be able to find anyone that's unaware of who he is, surely.
Yeah, every criminal trial begins with the picking of the jury, which is actually it takes a long time for a defendant. It's kind of a big deal. There is a certain limited number of vetoes that the defense has. The prosecution was complaining because Weinstein, who this Mr. Feminist all these years, now is demanding a jury that's mostly men. Now, as it stands now, it's pretty evenly matched. No one in the press mentioned any of this for Cosby. The makeup of the jury wasn't mentioned at all until the end. Nothing like this was ever brought up. And the fact is that Weinstein's people are, as well as a private Israeli company called Black Cube, is following these people around, reading their mail, figuring out who's who on this jury. This is an Israeli spy agency, a private sector spy agency, that's being used now they're going to start releasing their names. I guarantee it. They're going to destroy this case. And I think the prosecution's aware of this. So they know, how would they have known about this book at all? They're following these people. They're getting personal information. And if worse comes to worse, they'll release names and there'll be a mistrial. They'll do it over and over again. And it's happened before. But so Weinstein has more dirty tricks up his sleeve than the prosecution does. There was the DA showed a picture of Weinstein with Bill Clinton, trying to associate him with that kind of lifestyle, that he's a man of such great power that he's close to the presidency. They tried to demand a mistrial over that. Again, no one gave a crap about any of this stuff in the Cosby case. It's being treated differently. It's being handled differently. And the press is acting like a completely different, not quite a defense attorney, but coming close to it. This stuff never came up with Cosby, but they're going to do nothing but throw monkey wrenches into this. The jury, of course, the trial started already. The jury is more or less evenly matched racially and gender, but it didn't have the defense was vetoing mostly women because they wanted mostly men on it. So much for Weinstein's feminism.
Is that allowed over there? Because, it is that the victims are all saying, that they're women and they're victims. So, really, that does tend to say that there might be some bias on the part of female jurors. I would say, if someone is black and they're claiming hate crimes, or they're Jewish and they're claiming hate crimes, then there shouldn't be any blacks or Jews on the jury. Otherwise, it's the supposed victim that's standing in judgment, and that breaks a maxim of law, surely. But is that allowed in this case? So he's not allowed to say, well, I want all men to judge me because the supposed victims are all women?
Well, the system, they still use the French phrase of voir dire, which is a jury selection system. He is limited in how many vetoes he has. To try to get around that, he's trying to find personal information by illegal methods, and then bringing that up. Now, of course, he's finished. That's done now. But if they appeal, if he's convicted, they appeal, they may mention this again. I didn't realize they didn't have that in Great Britain. Actually, the voir dire actually takes longer than the trial in some cases. And it just shows you that everyone knows that genders and races are completely different in how they think and how they're going to approach things. And it harms the concept of a fair trial in general. But in some cases, the media is acting like his defense attorney.
It's funny that such a huge feminist should be taken down by the very women that he was sort of telling everybody to emulate before in the past. According to the Associated Press, Weinstein actually sent this email. This came out in court. The prosecutor said Weinstein later told the woman, "I just want to apologize for what happened earlier. I just find you so attractive, I couldn't resist you." So he seems to be admitting there. I don't know what he could argue that he's not sexually assaulted her, because it does seem that he's admitting to some kind of sexual assault, basically. There, yeah, is that what's going on here, Matt? He's apologizing for it, isn't he?
Yeah, there's obviously, he's talking about something sexual. The prosecution has a lot of these emails. They're not releasing yet. This is the only one that's come out so far. And that some of these women who are not even being questioned have emails like that, that they may use. He usually did this kind of thing over the phone, but every once in a while, if he felt bad enough, he would say this. Again, he never thought it would go this far. He thought that he was invincible. So yeah, he can only be talking about sex in this case.
Yeah, he clearly thought he was untouchable, especially after winning awards from, I forget whether it was either the ADL or the SBLC, one of them that he'd been sending a lot of money to, and he won an award for fighting anti-Semitism. I'm sure he thought that he was just going to be able to accuse these people of being anti-Semites, but what's actually happened is they've been trying to cover up the fact that he's actually Jewish. And of course, this sort of behavior is something that we see among a lot of these Jews at the top. That's why I say it is an anti-Semitic trope that movie producers behave like this and have a casting couch. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.